This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
Look, we have a watershed election coming up. It is an extremely important election. After 9 years of this government with its job losses and healthcare privatization, falling wages, environmental abuse, we know that it's time for change. Here's my worry, and here's why we're launching this campaign and this tour tonight. We have also seen 9 years of the Harper government trying to disenfranchise and disempower Canadians, particularly young people, particularly vulnerable workers, particularly First Nations, particularly anybody who might say, I'm not sure it's even worth being part of that system. And I am worried, we are worried, that fewer people, even than last election, are going to come out and vote in this election. And that would be wrong. If the people who feel disenfranchised would come out, that's not the only step, but the first step, and vote, we can make an enormous difference and elect the government that we have the right to demand. Well, I've just done this report. Bridget talked about it, and I looked at what the ways in which the Harper government has done this disempowering and disenfranchising to what he calls enemies of Canada. I had the strange honor of debating Chancellor Merkel last week, and I did get up in front of her and the entire national media in Germany and say I couldn't imagine the circumstance under which my prime minister would sit down and have this kind of dialogue with me. Yeah. Calls us terrorists and enemies of Canada, and Chancellor Merkel went, the mouth went like this. I'm sure they're going to discuss all of this at the G7, but this is a government that has deliberately set out to undermine democracy and civil society, and they've done it in a number of ways. The very first thing that the Harper government did was decide that anybody who was receiving government funds that in any way advocated was going to have to stop receiving those funds. It was status of women that was first hit, and all of the ways in which they promoted advocacy for women, whether it was pay equity or court challenges or violence against women, if there was any advocacy whatsoever, not even criticizing government, they had to go. The latest, and a lot of First Nations don't know this, but the latest is that the Tribal Council funding program, the money that goes to tribal councils, is now coming with the proviso that there is no advocacy allowed. So you're not allowed, if you receive that money as a First Nation, you're not allowed to promote drinking water standards or better schools or better health care or whatever for your people. And it's just appalling. The Harper government has also gutted departments, agencies, and staff that supported civil society, both the movements and the services, while giving corporate friends $60 billion in tax cuts since 2006. They've cut federal spending. It will now be, by 2016, it'll be $14.5 billion a year less that they're spending. The federal public service has been gutted, 37,000 jobs, and the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives says it's going to go as high as 50,000. Employment and Social Development Department has had its budget slashed by a quarter. This is the department that provides funding for on-the-ground services for the homeless, for literacy programs, social housing for disabled people, all slashed. First Nations, they've taken $60 million from Indigenous funding in the last 2 years and cut $255 million from Aboriginal Affairs. They've taken $100 million and 500 jobs from Fisheries and Oceans. They've cut Environment Canada by 42%. They've laid off 2,000 scientists and researchers. They've cut Health Canada's budget by $200 million. Agriculture Canada has had 700 employees laid off and over a third of their budget destroyed. They've had taken $45 million from arts programs, and 1,500 people will be laid off from the CBC when they're finished with their cuts. I mean, this is clear cutting, all right? They've also, as you know, gone after the charitable status of 60 organizations. The latest we heard today was Sierra Club with one full-time staff person. That's what he's going to be doing now. John Bennett is now going to be looking after the audit and nothing else, which of course is the point. My favorite was the Kitchener-Waterloo field naturalists who are being investigated because they've taken a stand questioning whether neonicotinoids are killing bees. This is what we call the chill effect gone to an extreme level. And they have defunded swaths of rights-based groups. And this is something that was built up over decades by all political parties. Governments of all political stripes believed in building a healthy rights movement that could then affect change. And I'm just going to read to you some of the organizations that they have cut, either fully, most of these fully, or at least three quarters. The National Council of Welfare, Canada Without Poverty, the Canadian Association of Independent Living Centres, the Canadian Council for Social Development, the Federal Youth Employment Program, Status of Women Canada, the National Association of Women in the Law, the Court Challenges Program, the Canadian Child Care Federation, Women's Health Contribution Program, the Aboriginal Healing Foundation, the Native Women's Association of Canada, the National Aboriginal Health Organization, Climate Action Network, the National Roundtable on the Environment and the Economy, the Canadian Environmental Network, the Canadian Health Accord, the Public Health Agency of Canada, the Canadian Institute for Health Information, the Health Council of Canada, the International Network for Cultural Diversity, the Canadian Conference of the Arts, the Canadian Wheat Board, the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, the Cooperative Development Initiative, which has funded 9,000 rural cooperatives, the Canadian International Development Agency, the Canadian Human Rights Commission, the Canadian Council for International Cooperation, Kairos, Development and Peace, Alternative, Rights and Democracy, the North-South Institute, and Match International. This is a small number of the institutions and movements that have been cut, and doesn't even include the dozens and dozens of scientific institutions and organizations that have been cut. Stephen Harper has set out to clear-cut an entire movement. We need to understand this was a deliberate act, and he's not only clear-cutting the movement, but clear-cutting the government services that serve that movement, so that our taxpayers' money is no longer going to promote the kinds of values and the kinds of rights-based movements that have existed in this country for absolutely decades. Like an old-growth forest, these movements took a long time to grow and create. Like all clear cuts, this one is meant to destroy the complex and intricate landscape that makes up our democracy. There are, however, great signs of hope, and I am fully hopeful. I think hope is a moral imperative, and it's something that we have to remember. This is a gift to us every single day. First of all, there are new and emerging movements coming forward in our country, youth movements, student movements, First Nations movements, anti-fracking and anti-pipeline movements, and they, if not funded by governments, have a kind of freedom that actually the Council of Canadians has enjoyed, because we've never had that kind of relationship with government. And while I don't think it's all right for governments to cut it, I also think that building more independent movements is going to have to be part of the next step. We're also building networks and alliances across the board, working very deeply and closely with the Canadian Union of Public Employees, with Unifor, with the Public Service Alliance of Canada, and other workers and other unions, with environmental and social justice groups. We have a trade justice network. When I say that I think that we're actually on the tipping point around this terrible trade agreement, CETA, being in Germany, I saw the backbone that's building there against the investor-state agreements in these trade agreements. And so we're not only building these alliances within Canada, we're building them across the world. And we're also directly challenging. I mean, the Supreme Court, even though it has a lot of Harper appointees on it, is talking back in a very specific and powerful way. The parliamentary watchdogs have not lain down and gone to sleep. There is real concern in this country for what this government has done. Nobody elected a PMO. Nobody elected one person to be in charge of absolutely everything in this country, and it is very important that we not allow the disillusionment that many of us are feeling to make us feel disempowered and tell us that we cannot move ahead and we cannot make the change that we have to make. And we at the Council of Canadians with the Canadian Federation of Students has laid a constitutional challenge against this so-called Fair Elections Act. We were deeply involved in the fight on the robocalls. And as you'll remember, the Federal Court of Canada said, yes, there was electoral fraud in the last election. And yes, it had a widespread effect. And they laid the blame at the feet of the Conservative Party of Canada. Now, with this so-called Fair Elections Act that they've brought in, they're going to make it almost impossible for us even to get that much information if this happens again, and we must not allow it to happen. So our message on this tour and tonight is get up, stand up, get out the vote. Stephen Harper will be gone after the next election, and he is not going to take our institutions, our movements, our values, our hearts, and our dreams with him. Thank you.